Seems like the fun and games have already begun here on Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio. And welcome, I'm Richard Grund. I don't know, maybe it's just me. There is a bit of a delay between the switchboard, the control board, and the broadcast, but that seemed excessively long, and then there was a high-pitched squeal on my end. I don't know if you heard it or not, but we're off to the races already. And I'm flying solo. My co-pilot is not with me. So when we reach our cruising altitude, the unbuckle the seatbelt sign will turn on and you're free to move about the cabin, whatever that means. Welcome. Glad you could be here. A lot of things to talk about. Thank you. Thank you for being here. If you are a supporter of Firefall Talk Radio, we greatly appreciate it. It helps to keep the lights on and the show going, and it's helping to get the studio up and running. A quick update on that. Wires are being run, connections are being made, and heating pads are being in business because I'm not built to be running wires and crawling under desks and doing those things. And I realized this week that all the movie sets I worked on, guys that were built like me, they carried things. They carried heavy things. They set things up. The men that ran the wires and did the sound and did all that stuff, they were skinny, wiry guys. I get it now. I get it. So it's coming along. It's really exciting. So hang in there with us. If you still want to help out, if there's anything you think you can do financially, physically, socially, maybe you know how to do things with social media, go to firefalltalkradio.com or supernaturalresponse.net. And use the contact buttons there and get in touch with us. Quick reminder, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, same time, same place. We do a Bible study, if that's what you want to call it. There is a study of the Bible, and there is things being learned, but it's very inspirational, and we let the Spirit do His thing. And we tie what we talk about here back to Scripture so that you can understand that there is a divine hand in all these things. If you don't see it, if you're not watching the signs of the times that are blaring like some of the giant LED lights in Times Square, then you're missing the fact that there's something going on. And it's going on whether you want it to or not. It's not like you can stop it. It's not like you can control it. It's not like you have any say in the matter. So that's why we come here and we do what we do, and we try to keep you awake, aware, prepared. So the big thing is this, and this came to me while talking to one of my brothers, Larry, fellow member of SRT. He mentioned the quote, and I went and found it, by Mark Twain. A thing long expected takes the form of the unexpected when at last it comes. And I think we're there. I think we are at the point where all these things we've been talking about, people have been writing books, DVDs, videotapes. Yes, there's still some of those laying around, a prophecy and all the stuff that, you know, people go to these seminars and they're talking and they're telling you, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. I think we're going to find out that we really do see through a glass dimly. And while we may have a part of it, it's completely blurred. And we really didn't understand what was coming. We didn't get it. We didn't see how everything ties together, not just prophecy, not just eschatology, the study of the end times, not just spiritual matters, but everything ties together. And one of the things I saw this week that I watched, and I realized we were watching something play out from a perspective I don't think we've seen it before, with an overt arrogance and transparency. And that was the GOP-Republican debate. Now, I'm not going to get into Republican-Democrat. I think it's all a sham. I think it's all professional wrestling where they meet in a back room. They decide who's going to compete, who's going to win, who's going to lose. Put on a good show, guys, and let's go out and have a drink afterwards. And you see it when these guys come out of office. They're buddy-buddy. They're playing golf together. They're vacationing together. It's all a joke. And the joke's on us. My opinion. Don't get mad at me if you don't agree. If you think your vote matters for something, that's up to you. I was thinking about that today, and I'm not saying to vote or not to vote, but there's no way to verify that the vote that you cast actually goes where you think it's going. Think about that one. But we're talking politics. We're going to enter into the fray. We're going to enter into the muck. Get your boots on. It might be a little high out there. Politics, you know, that's a Greek word, politikos, meaning or relating to citizens. It's supposed to be about the citizens, but is it really? Its definition is the practice and theory of influencing other people. A more narrow definition is it refers to achieving and exercising positions of governance, meaning the control over human community. Particularly a state or nation or whatever. But I think the first definition is really the most accurate. Politics is all about influencing people. And we saw that this week. Fox News had the Republican debate, and I didn't watch it. I have better things to do with my time. I can catch it on the internet after the fact. I can catch the highlights and the videos and do all that. What we saw in this debate had nothing to do with the candidates, except for one candidate. And again, I am not promoting anybody, but I'm stating the obvious. We saw the biggest sham, the biggest manipulation, the biggest game ever played on the national scene. And what's great is a lot of people got it on social media, Twitter, Facebook, the internet, the forums. A lot of people saw it and they're speaking out. Whether that'll actually change anything, I don't know. But what we saw was Rupert Murdoch, the majority owner of Fox News and 20th Century Fox. What we saw is his takedown of Donald Trump. He had called the head of Fox News, Roger Ailes, and asked him to tone down support of Trump, tone down the stories. In fact, back off, and Roger said, no, it's news, and we're going to report it. So Rupert got his way during the debate. He handpicked the three presenters, Megyn Kelly, Bruce Baer, and Wallace. First name went out of my head. Chris Wallace. And what we saw, first question out of the chute, was directly an attack and to manipulate and marginalize Donald Trump. I'm not particularly a fan of anybody up there. You can tell me, well, someone is a Christian and he's a believer and he's a minister or he's a preacher or he goes to church, then he shouldn't be in politics because you sell your soul to get where you're going and you make backroom deals, under the table deals, or you don't get to that level. What we saw was Donald Trump being taken down by Rupert Murdoch. And one of the main women doing it was Megyn Kelly. But right after the debate, Rupert Murdoch tweeted, Baer, Kelly, Wallace, great job Thursday. Fine journalism, no more, no less. Friend Donald has to learn this is public life. fine journalism, Rupert? I know you're up in years, but I assume you take your vitamins and drink your protein drink. That was not fine journalism at all. That was a sham. That was the show. And here's why I say that. One of the candidates is a man named Jeb Bush. His brother and his father were president. Rupert Murdoch likes Jeb Bush. Matter of fact, December 2014, Rupert Murdoch went to a Chamber of Commerce dinner and specifically requested to sit with Valerie Jarrett, chief of staff in the White House, and Jeb Bush. And there's this wonderful picture of them palling around at dinner. And the body language clearly says these people are friends. That Rupert Murdoch and Valerie Jarrett first met was at a chamber, a different event. They became aligned on immigration reform. Valerie Jarrett, direct quote, "Good policy makes for strange bedfellows." If you follow this administration and you follow what's going on in the world, the fact that Rupert Murdoch has become buddy-buddy with Valerie Jarrett, and the fact that Valerie Jarrett likes Jeb Bush because he says all the right things on immigration, the fact that Rupert Murdoch, owner of Fox News, a major player in media worth $14 billion, says that he would like for either Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton to be president in 2016. Either one would make him happy. He told Fox Business News Thursday that former Governor Jeb Bush would be a very good president. And then in April of this year, he told Fortune magazine, "I could live with Hillary as president," noting it would depend upon the Republican candidate. Hey, Rupert, why don't you just come right out and say it? You and your billionaire buddies and all of you at the top of the food chain, all of you at the Bilderberger meetings and all those bizarre events all over the world, you sit down and you decide where you're going to place your billion-dollar chips. And it won't be on an outsider like Donald Trump that you can't control. It won't be on somebody like Ted Cruz from the Tea Party who you can't control. And it won't be some of these other people who, while you may be able to control them, they're not dynamic and fool-less sheeple that they're actually leading. I would bet that when a man like that comes out and says Jeb Bush is a man of very fine character and a great governor, I've lived in Florida under his governorship and not so much. Anyway, but saying all that to say this, folks, watching something play out, that in the midst of everything else going on in the world, the powers that be, as I call them, have to make sure that they have the right puppet president in the White House. Again, personal opinion here. You don't have to agree with me. But history bears this out. And the first question out of the shoot I found very interesting. Who would vow? Is there anyone here who would not vow to not run as a third party should they not get the nomination? Why didn't they just come right out and say, Donald, first question for you and for you alone. Are you going to run as a third party candidate? And, of course, he was honest enough to raise his hand and say, well, I can't say I won't, but I'm here right now. And of course that caused, Rand Paul to say something and people started murmuring and it just got the thing off to a whole ugly tone. What Donald should have done, and I may do it, I may buy the book Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stanley Monteith and mail it to him and say, you really need to read this so that the next time they ask you about the two-party question, you can give them a history lesson that the purpose of the two-party situation was to eliminate the third party because a third party makes it harder to control the vote. Now, in the fairness of equal opportunity, there are some who say that Donald Trump is only running, that if he doesn't get the nomination, which he doesn't expect to, this is their theory, he will run as a third-party person the way Ross Perot did. He will split the Republican vote, let the Democrat win, because he's buddy-buddy with the Clintons and he wants Hillary to win. So he's the Trojan horse in the mix of the whole thing to throw it all off. That's possible. That's possible. Ross Perot spent $25 million of his own money to make sure that George should not get reelected and Bill Clinton won. And 2015, I don't think it matters who we vote for. We saw that in 2012 when more people voted in counties than there were people registered to vote, when the numbers didn't match, when we found out that dead people were voting. The amount of corruption, the amount of voter fraud indicates to me that things aren't all that they seem, all the way back to 2000 with the hanging Chad and the vote between George Bush and Al Gore. But it's the big player, the media. The media controls what we see and hear, and all we've heard and all we saw this week was what? Donald Trump, Megyn Kelly, GOP debate. You know, we didn't hear much about anymore Planned Parenthood and the videos that are coming out proving that they sell baby parts. And whoop-de-doo, when they get a fully formed, intact baby, they hit the jackpot. That the videos that have come out have frightened people to the point that they're trying to stop them. The White House is trying to marginalize them and ignore them. But here we are this week. You've not heard one thing about it. I went online and checked top headlines for the week. I didn't see anything about Planned Parenthood. I saw a number of things about Donald Trump. I saw a number of things about Fox News. I saw a number of things about Megyn Kelly. I saw very little about the barbaric practice of chopping up babies inside the womb and then selling those parts to medical research centers. The cash cow that called the abortion business. We only have stats for 2012. $320 million a year is how much Planned Parenthood takes in. And 51%, get ready for this, folks. Come on. 51% of what they take in comes from abortions. $164,154,000. And on top of that, us taxpayers, payers, sheeple, through our wonderfully elected representatives, give them another $542 million. What is going on here? Well, I'll tell you what's going on here. What's going on here is all the way back to Babylon, we're still sacrificing babies. We're still sacrificing babies to the gods, my opinion. We are sacrificing animals to the gods, my opinion. On a daily basis, the amount of blood and being spilled and the amount of lives being taken for the flesh, the world, and the devil is on a level unlike it's ever seen before. Technology and advances in society have been the best thing to ever happen to the fallen angels. They've got it made. They just need to sit back, put their talony little fingers behind their head, kick up their feet, and let us do the work for them. In an interview with CNN, the pro-life advocate behind the shocking videos, 4 out of the 9, I think the fifth one is either come out, it's about to come out, exposing Planned Parenthood selling baby parts of aborted babies for research. He made a startling claim, and I was going to play the audio clip, but I have to check into the legalities of me doing that. So I need to further research. Once we get to the video, once we start doing this from a video studio perspective, I am going to be playing clips. So I have to do some research on that. So bear with me. But David Daladin claims that Planned Parenthood's abortion business may be selling fully intact bodies of unborn babies who are purposely, born alive and left to die. Now, we know that this happens because there are nurses who have left the abortion business who were present when a baby was born alive and left it on the table there to die. And when she tried to resuscitate the baby, she was stopped. So the Center for Medical Progress's president, David Daladin, as I mentioned, who has coordinated these undercover videos, explained to CNN that this is significant because laws are being broken. Quote, in a meeting with their top leadership, this is a company called the STEM Express, who works with Planned Parenthood for fetal tissue. Just call it what it is, folks. They're babies. If they weren't human, why are you selling their body parts? If they're just tissue and they're not human, how are you making money? Come on. In a meeting with their top leadership, where their leadership admitted that they sometimes get fully intact fetuses shipped to their laboratory from the abortion clinics they work with, that could be prima facie evidence of born alive infants, which is against the law, by the way. And so that while they're trying to suppress the video, they're very scared of it. Well, you know what? Who's helping them suppress all this information? The same mainstream media we started the show with. The same White House that we have, and unfortunately every White House before, all the way back to Richard Nixon. By the way, it was Richard Nixon who signed the bill and the laws into place to help Planned Parenthood. So let's not just lay it on one White House. The brown stain and the blood stain, the brown you can figure out what that it is, but the blood stains go all the way back to Richard Nixon. Go all the way back to every person that ever participated in an event or gave them money or took an award from them. This is disgusting. These videos have even upset some diehard liberals who lean so far to the left, it's a wonder they can walk straight up. And they have, when confronted, have been forced to admit that it's disturbing. Yeah, it's disturbing. Are we going to do anything about it? No. Too much money changes hands. So while we're dancing around about the GOP and Donald Trump and how he combs his hair and all these other things, and they're doing everything they can to take down the one candidate who's saying what people want to hear. I don't know if he really has the answers, but he's saying what people want to hear. He can't be bought. He's not a politician. He's got his own money. So, folks, what are we counting down to? Are we like Rome? Are we counting down to the end? Well, I know some of us have talked about and are watching the whole Shemitah year countdown, secular and spiritual alike. But this question got raised in a discussion with one of my brothers. I think it was this week or last week. Is this the Y2K thing all over again? You remember Y2K 2000? Oh, the computers are gonna flip over, and all they're gonna have is zeros. We're gonna go from 1999, and everything's gonna flip over, and the computers are gonna get confused. They're gonna set off rockets. They're gonna shut down payrolls. Well, for 2 years they had us in that Y2K phenomenon. Buy this, buy that. Here it is. Come over here. Watch this video. Buy this video. Buy this software. Here's what Y2 did. What people say, well, it was a colossal failure. Oh, no, 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 no. Let me say that again. Oh, no, 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 no. Y2K forced society, both people and business alike, to adhere to the government model for computers and technology. Everything went from analog to digital. Shortly thereafter, the switch from television from analog to digital, to where if you still had an analog TV, you had to go get a box and you had to pay more. And they made it seem like you were in the dark ages and probably had an outhouse if you weren't digital. Billions of dollars was spent for 2 years to comply against the Y2K bug. A lot of money changed hands, hardware, software vendors alike, to fix the problem. The hype machine was in effect. I remember New Year's Eve that year of sitting there having bought into this, thinking, okay, let's watch New Year's Eve. Let's watch all these news reports from all over the world and see anything happens. And nothing happened. But something did happen. We were set up for where we are now. The Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, the smart TV, control of what you see and hear, the RFID chip in your card, in your wallet, in the smartphones. All of that had to happen by getting us on the government technology plan. So the question about the Shemitah year is this. Is this another Trojan horse? All of the discussions going on, a misdirection for something else. I don't think it is, but I will say this. The fact that both secular and spiritual are riding this train tells me that there's another thing involved. I think the fallen have their hand on this one too. They're setting up a world in which they can walk back into control. The ones that are coming out of the pit, whenever that might be, they want the world back to the way it was before they left. They want their tribes, they want their nations, they want their soldiers, they want what they want. And they're working it from behind the scenes to get it to that place. The Antichrist needs it to be a certain place. And to get the whole world caught up in an end time prophecy like this, to get them looking towards that, allows him to do things that we don't see. And as I've been to reach all the things, research all the things that are going to happen between now and the end of the Shemitah year, the end of the financial cycle, the Feast of Sukkot, all those things, something jumped out at me. And it was reported on April 8th by the Daily Mail. And the headline said, why is the U.S. military moving back into Stargate Deep, Base Deep under the Rocky Mountains a decade after it was abandoned? And I remember, I think it was the third Terminator movie, at the end of the movie as they're fleeing, this is before Skynet goes into effect, they flee to one of these bases inside the mountains, and I think it was the one in the Rocky Mountains. They flee, and they go deep in there, and that's a city underneath the mountains, and it's protection from any kind of explosive event. Why in April 2015 did the U.S. military reopen something that's been closed for 10 years? The Cheyenne Mountain Complex is being refurbished by the Pentagon. High-tech communications are being installed that are impervious to electromagnetic pulses. This bunker that I'm talking about is 2,000 feet under the Rocky Mountains and can withstand a 30 megaton nuclear blast. What's really going on? I don't know. I'd like to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Why is the Cheyenne Mountain Complex, one of the icons of the Cold War, in our war with Russia that's no longer viable, or is it, built to be impervious to a Soviet nuclear barrage, originally the home of the North American Aerospace Command, otherwise known as NORAD, which would scan the skies for Russian missiles. I'm all over the place tonight because I'm shooting from the lip, as Donald does. A military command and control center for the United States in the event of World War III. Men and women in a huge city-like structure. There are 15 three-story buildings inside a complex, and each has a 25-ton blast door. What's really going on? Why did they open that up in April? How did that slide under the radar? Oh, I know the guys like Alex Jones and those guys covered it, but I'm talking about mainstream media. I'm talking about regular media. Why aren't they asking the honest question? Hey, what do you know that we don't know that you're spending all this money? And if you're doing it there, are you doing it at all of the complexes? And then you see that from April, we go to other things that were taking place. We go to the Jade Helm event. We go to all these things. What's going on, folks? Why is the misdirection so strong that they don't want us to see? And what we do see, they wanted us to see it their way. One of the things going on is called the blood moons. and Blood Moon enthusiasts have been rocking and rolling and spending money and writing blogs and doing everything they do, awaiting the appearance of the final Blood Moon Tetra, four moon cycle. And it ends on September 28th, 2015, which is also the first day of the Sukkot. What makes this so unique that both Jew and Gentile, both Orthodox Jew and Christian, are watching this so intently? What makes this Jewish holiday, this event, this blood moon occurring on a Jewish holiday, so significant? Here's what a Orthodox rabbinic scholar thinks. His name is Rabbi Mendel Kassin. And I watched a video on YouTube. If you're interested, you write me and I will send you the link. It's way too long to post on social media. But he speaks to a group about the importance of the Jewish holidays and these blood moons. And what he states, again, recognize this is an Orthodox Jewish man speaking to an Orthodox Jewish audience. And he states very clearly that the history of the blood moons and the events that we're watching explicitly connect the Jewish people to redemption. In fact, he goes ahead and says it has messianic implications. And what he does is he explains it very simply. He didn't have to do what some people do and go on and on and on and on and on and on and repeat the same things over and over and call it a book. He gets right to the point. And he explains that the lunar eclipse occurs when, of course, the earth is between the sun and the moon, turning the moon dark. And the lunar eclipse happens every 12 to 18 months, and it happens in such a way that it turns the moon red. Well, wait a second. Is there a scripture about the blood moons? Is there something in the Bible that we could refer to that would tell us that there's some implications here? Well, Joel 2:31, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon turned to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, wouldn't the sun be dark if it was blocked by another planet? And if that planet happened to be the moon and it caused a reflection from the earth that turned it red, what might we be seeing, Joel 2:31? Maybe. I'm not saying we are. I'm just saying we should be paying attention. And what this Orthodox Jewish rabbi says, that these blood moons can happen every 12 to 18 months. But tetrads, sequences of four blood moons 6 months apart, are extremely rare. It's only happened four times in 500 years. And tetrads that fall on significant Jewish holidays of Passover and Sukkot, which, if you don't know, is the Feast of Tabernacles, has only happened four times. Well, three times. This will be the fourth. 1492, 1948, 1967, and 2015 will be the fourth. So what he says as he speaks to this Orthodox Jewish audience is, while red moons, blood moons can be common, series of four blood red moons 6 months apart are extremely rare. And having them fall on Passover and Sukkot only have happened three other times in history. 1492, that sounds familiar. Columbus discovered America. What's less known during that time? Well, I know it because I've studied it, because my Jewish lineage comes from it. The entire Jewish community of Spain, 200,000 people, were expelled by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. And a little history lesson, the money for Columbus's journey to America, to the Americas, to the New World, was funded from the king and the queen taking all the Jewish wealth. and a lot of Jews signed up as sailors and workers on those boats to get out, and others just fled. They fled through Sicily, which is where my blood lineage comes from. They went through other places. They went through the Caribbean. They went through an island called Nevis, which has a very large Jewish community. I don't know how many are Messianic. And then they went through the Turks and Caicos Islands, which I'm very familiar with and have a heart for, and then they made their way into America. God made a way where there was no way. He gave them a place to flee to by using Columbus to clear that path to America. So Columbus's discovery of America provided Spanish Jews with safe harbor. And this Rabbi Kesson goes on to teach that the discovery of America softened the exile of the Spanish Jews, as did Nevis and some of these other islands where they stayed, where they were accepted and are still active today. And it helped it helped move the redemption of the Jews forward, but also, I believed, helped bring the influence of Israel and the influence of the Jews to a place where the Lord would establish the church through the pilgrims who came here to start a new Jerusalem. They would Sabbath from Friday to Saturday. They would celebrate the Shabbat, and then they would fellowship on Sunday until, of course, we know how that worked out. So the exile of the Jews began to ease up in 1492. The next tetrad of note was 1948. Gee, what happened in 1948? Israel became a state. And in a day, a nation was born. So we have the Tetrad, we have the blood moons on Passover and Sukkot, and 1492, the Jews get out of the Inquisition. They get out of the way of the Crusades. They get out of the way of the blood being spilled, and they find safe passage. A way is made for them. 1948, it happens again. The State of Israel is founded. The third rare Tetrad happened on the Jewish holidays of 1967. When the city of Jerusalem was unified. Why does the Almighty do this? I don't know, but as I prayed about it and as I thought about it in preparation to talk to you about it, I realized that he does everything decency in order and that he has a plan and he sticks to his plan. And while it's not about astrology, it is about astronomy, and he tells the story with the stars. He tells the story with the planets. He tells a story in history that we can follow. And the Jews know that their redemption draws nigh. But I don't think they understand what's coming. Because 2015, the final blood red moon of the current Tetrad falls on that first night of Sukkot. And as this rabbi said, each one of these is messianic advancement. These are incredible events that predate the Messiah. And then the Shemitah years in the mix. Why? What are we seeing? Well, here's what I believe that we're seeing. I believe that we're seeing that Messiah is coming for his people. I see the bridegroom coming for the bride. I see a lot of things happening, and oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you that September 28th or the 23rd or the 22nd. I'm not going to put a date on it. Only my Father in heaven knows. I'm just trying to be ready for the return of the King. That's why we do this. That's why I do the Bible studies, to keep you ready. One eye in the sky and one eye on the job at hand. But something's going to happen. The threat of Iran, which is really Persia, has risen to a place, clearly indicates to biblical scholars something's about to change, actually predicted by 13th century biblical rabbinic scholar, Yalkut Shimoni. Another rabbinic scholar and author, Rabbi Nachman Kahana, who translated the 800-year-old commentary, says this: Paras, Persia, Iran, will be the dread of humanity. Now remember, this is hundreds of years ago. Iran will be the dread of humanity. The world leaders will be frustrated in their futile efforts to save what they can, but to no avail. The people of Israel, here it says Israel, will also be petrified by the impending danger, and Hashem will say to us, why are you afraid? All of this I have done in order to bring you the awaited redemption. And this redemption will not be like the redemption from Egypt, which was followed by suffering. This redemption will be absolute, followed with peace. Well, we know that means the Prince of Peace must be coming back in that time frame. So this is what Rabbi Kassin says. We have now entered the countdown to Messiah. This is what he is saying in 2015. We have entered the countdown to Messiah, which is unbelievable. And based upon the verse from the book of Joel, based upon what's happening, something awesome seems to be in the works. I've already shared this with, and I don't do to exalt myself. My attitude about prophecy or people that claim to be prophets is what they say come true. And I've already told you that 2 or 3 years ago, as I prayed, Lord, when, what should I be watching for? He pointed me towards the Feast of Tabernacles 2015. And I've said it on here enough times that that's documented. Well, today I got up and I like to post scripture on Facebook or Twitter or wherever to encourage and edify people. And this is what I was encouraged to post this morning before I prepared for the show, before I knew what I was going to talk about. Zechariah 12, starting with verse 8. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, and the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And then they will look on me who... They will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Well, folks, Zechariah was talking about Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua. Because what other prophet was pierced? What other prophet was called his only begotten son? What other prophet was his firstborn? Zechariah 12, 8 through 10 talks about the return of the Messiah. They will see him when he splits the sky, and they will see the wounds in his wrists and his feet, and they will know that he is the one that Zechariah spoke about, and they were the ones that pierced him. So I posted that scripture, and right underneath it in capital letters, I said, coming soon. Because I believe it is. But as we get closer to September, mid-September, end of September, we've talked about this before, but let's now look back upon what I've said and add it to everything we've talked about. The political machinations going on in media and in politics, the desire to rule people and control people. What's going on with the blood moons and the end of the Shemitah year, the financial cycles, what's going to happen there? Well, September 25th to 27th, the UN hosts their Agenda 21 meeting of sustainable development for the entire planet. And if you don't know what Agenda 21 is, there's enough videos and information online, and it should scare you. And the Pope is going to show up in New York and address Congress and attend that meeting. During that time will be the UN proposal to make Palestine a state, which of course means splitting the Jerusalem that the Almighty gave them back in 1967. And then the US Congress will vote on the Iran nuclear sanctions agreement. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's give our enemies the ability to blow us up. September 15th will be the 70th session of the UN General Assembly. And that's when I said, like the Palestinian thing, France is going to introduce the resolution that would give the UN Security Council recognition of the Palestinian state. Up till now, every time it's come up, the US has blocked the resolution. the U.S. won't be blocking that resolution this time, unless the Lord steps in. But Barack Obama has indicated that he will not interfere with that. Then, Agenda 21 on steroids is what some are calling it. They're talking about a sustainable development agenda for the entire planet. A world governance taking over economics, agriculture, education, gender equality. Hey, you buy a Target, don't. No, I'm not telling you don't buy a Target. I'm telling you make a choice. Do you know the Target won't do gender things anymore? You can't find the boys section or the girls section. No more gender things. There are restaurants and public facilities all over the United States. Male, female, whatever, anybody can use it. Gender equality. And then the Pope is going to speak at Yankee Stadium to the faithful. And then he's going to stand up at the UN. And he's already given indications of what he's going to talk about. And then after all of that, in the middle of it, Jade Helm will finish. The military, which is practicing for something big, will be done practicing, and they'll be ready for whatever that big thing is. Then on the 28th, the blood moon, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that super moon is going to set off something. And the super moon will be visible in the city of Jerusalem. Some of the others have not. In case you didn't know it, that the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD happened just after blood moon. So will the stock market crash? I don't know. Probably not, because that particular day of the end of the Shemitah year, which will be, I went out of my head. I don't have it here. Elul something. September 13th is a Sunday. So we know for sure it won't happen then, but we don't know what'll happen on Monday. But as has been pointed out by many, including Jonathan Kahn in his book on the Shemitah, sometimes the stock market crashes or craps, however you want to look at it, depending upon how much money you have invested in it. Could happen either just before or just after. The ripple effect will take a little time to build up to it. So we have all of that going on. We have all of this craziness socially, economically, politically, financially, spiritually. We got the bloodshed of murders in the streets and babies being butchered and just craziness going on worldwide. And on top of all of that, this coming Wednesday, the Hadron Collider is being turned back on. If this were a sci-fi movie, we'd be looking at it, giggling and laughing at the ridiculousness of it. But it's really happening. Gee, what could go wrong? So what do you do? I don't know. I've listened to a couple of different things in the past. We've stocked up on stuff. We've stocked up on water. We did the food thing. And unfortunately, I had to get rid of most of it because it got outdated and went bad. We stashed away the cash. And by the way, you do know that the banks watch the movement of your cash now. They watch if you are taking it out. They watch how you're putting it in. They watch patterns. Just read an interesting thing on being watched, and this really doesn't fit, but I don't know why I'm remembering it. There is a part of Facebook Messenger, why they forced everybody to switch, that all of your messages are going through a filter, and they're being gleaned. And if at any time they trigger any warnings or keywords or any alarms, those messages are fed to the authorities by Facebook. The countdown has begun. We're watching the increase of RFID chips in devices, in bank cards. You can't go anywhere now. We're not seeing some marker that there's a chip. As I said, my wife got a new bank card recently, and it came with one. I spoke to somebody today who had a mysterious charge on his bank card, so they canceled it so that they could send him this new one with the chip. I would recommend if you get one of those to invest in a wallet or the sleeves that protect those cards, because they have a little device you can buy for $10 on the internet. Somebody can stand next to you, scan your purse or your pocket, and they can record all the information off that card. And by the time you figure out it's happened, your account is empty, or thousands of tens of thousands of dollars are being charged, depending upon what your credit limit is. The theme this year has been finally awake. I've already got next year's theme. Can't tell you yet. You got to wait. Finally awake. We've been wanting to wake you up for the last 5 years. Some of you say, hey, I'm awake. I'm listening. My question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you prepared spiritually? Are you prepared emotionally? Are you prepared physically? What are you doing? Hypothetically, if the brilliant leadership that's in North Korea suddenly decided that they're offended by another movie made in America, or that Ben and Jerry changed the flavor on their ice cream, and he decides to send us a gift of an EMP, and that EMP goes off and fries the grid, which is already ancient and old, and you suddenly don't have access to your bank account, you suddenly don't have access to anything, are you prepared? This is the question I ask myself. And you have to be careful, because it looks like if you're prepping, it looks like if you're storing, it looks like if you're one of those people, you go on a list and you're monitored. It would appear to me that as the clock ticks down, there's some massive event is taking place, but it's not a singular event. It's multiple clusters of social, economic, political, spiritual bombs going off at once, so that you can respond to a few, but you miss the rest. Meant to overwhelm you, meant to demoralize you, meant to bring you to your knees, unfortunately, not in prayer, but in fear. Those are the moments we need to fall to our knees in faith and be able to hear the Spirit and to know what to do. Your instinct may be to run, and the Lord may say, be still. Your instinct may be to hunker down, and the Spirit may say, grab and go. But if you can't hear, and you don't know, and you're not in right relationship, what is going to happen? Now, this message that I'm giving right now would normally be for Wednesday night. But as you've noticed over the last couple of months, I've begun to tie the two together. And if you don't want that message, then this may not be the place for you, because firefall comes from the fire that fell on Mount Sinai, comes from the fire that fell on Mount Carmel, comes from the fire that fell in the upper room. And the intention of this name, first starting with Firefall Productions and then evolving into Firefall Talk Radio and the Firefall Media Group, is to bring those fires of Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel, in the upper room to play in the world now. So Reflections in the Dark in 2015 has taken on a much more spiritual flavor. If that's not your thing, believe me, there are plenty of other things to listen to out there. But if it is, then we need to be aware, awake, alert, and prepared. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to get you prepared without setting off any bells and whistles and also not sending you down rabbit holes. There's enough rabbit holes out there being dug by a lot of people who are taking people with them, and it's got to be really crowded. When you get that many people in a rabbit hole, the problem is you can't back out. You're stuck. Pick and choose where you put your information, and pick and choose where you put your support. So as we go forward in 2015, and remember, the election's not till November 2016, so it's a long way to go, but I want you to watch how it plays out. I want you to watch the players if all the world's a stage and each must play our part, then we're watching a play. Unfortunately, it's not Shakespearean, it's Machiavellian. And we're watching people who have a lot of power manipulate outcomes, manipulate opinions, but there's a buzz. I don't know if you feel it when you go to the store, to the movies, even to church. There's a buzz out there and people are agitated. People are angry. They don't even know why. They're acting out. And when those don't have any self-control or on the other side of the spiritual spectrum, they're doing ugly things to one another, to babies, to animals, to themselves. But even those of us who are in right relationship and have the spirit and have the self-control, we can feel it. And especially those like me and the fellow members of SRT doing what we do, we can see it. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I've been doing this for a long time, not this show. I've only been doing it for 5 years. But I've been walking this walk since October of 1988. And I've been serving the Lord essentially full-time against the powers of darkness since 1990. From Mark Twain, a thing long expected takes the form of the unexpected. When at last it comes, it applies to me. I did not expect it to be this dark, this dangerous, this demonic, this fast. And though I am aware, and though I believe that I am prepared, I am deeply concerned for those around me. Some I care deeply about, family, friends, some of you. That like the Blitzkrieg in Germany, when Britain and France and those other nations were caught off guard, we're about to see that. Portions of the church are about to see that blitzkrieg, which I've been talking about since 2010. If you have topics about this or say, okay, Richard, I hear what you're saying, but what do I do about this? You go to supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com, and you write me from there. You fill out the contact thing, and you let me know, I would like to understand this aspect more. What do I do about this? And we will work on that. I'm working on the list of videos to make. I'm working on a list of presentations and PowerPoints and things like that for producing in the studio, which we will then put up online in something called the Firefall Network, and we will figure out how we're going to do all that, how you're going to get access to it. I am taking on this workload because I believe it's important. I believe the time is short, and I believe we need. I've been flying solo tonight, and this probably was one of those times that might have been good to do that. I don't know. I just know that the Lord's in control, and however he wants things to happen, they will happen. When I think about politics, I'm going to end probably with this. When you watch politics, when you watch what's going on, you saw what you saw on Fox News this week.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said, come back tomorrow.
If you are really great and powerful, you'll keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken!
Who are you?